We're going to enjoy another parable tonight in Luke chapter 18. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. As Jesus is continuing to confront his audience, to confront the people of Israel, to confront them with truth, to provoke their faith, to put a finger on what is really motivating them and driving them. Are they people of faith, a true faith in God? Luke 18, of course, began with that narrative insight that tells us that Jesus tells the parable about this widow who kept crying out for the judge to avenge her. Something had happened and she needed help. And being a widow, she went to the only person she knew that could help her, and that was the judge of the city. And of course, he was an unjust judge, and he did not help her. He did not want to help her. But finally, he did. And Jesus, in telling that parable, Luke says that this was told so that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we talked about this last time we were together and how important it is that we know who we're praying to. This is God who will avenge his elect. He will come through for us. He will handle the things that in our minds are unjust, the things that do not make sense now. Oh, God sees them all. Now, his timetable, of course, is different than ours. And so often we plead with God and we pray to him. And I know that is the case for some of you in this room. Probably all of us at different times in our lives. We plead with God on various different things and for people. And sometimes we wonder why God isn't doing anything. But in this bearing long and in this patience and in this long suffering, God is doing something, isn't he? He is building within us this faith and this belief that he is true and just, and he will handle things right in his time. Jesus wants us to have faith and believe. And so in sharing these things, what he is doing is he is saying, listen, you gotta trust me. You gotta believe me. Now we come to verse 9 and we have another parable, but before we get to it, a narrative insight. Verse 9 says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Boy, what a commentary, right? Now, of course, this was not necessarily announced in this crowd as Jesus was sharing, but Luke gives us this insight to help us understand why Jesus is sharing this. And again, we've talked about this last week. I don't want to go too much into it, but the beauty of the Holy Spirit inspiring the Word of God, inspiring Luke here to include that detail for us, understanding the context in which Jesus was in is so beautiful. And it's so helpful, isn't it? That we get to see this view of what's going on there around Jesus. There is people in this crowd who they trusted in themselves for righteousness. And of course, they saw themselves as righteous because they were the standard. They were the ones who decided what righteousness looked like. And so in the process of them establishing themselves as righteous, they are despising others. Because, of course, if I have this certain standard of righteousness, well, you're not going to measure up to mine. And by automatically, then, there is a despising that takes place What a mess, isn't it? When we get our eyes off God, off Christ. What a mess. And God forbid that this church ever comes down into, stoops into the depths of that kind of fray, mess. We know that unity is found in keeping our eyes on Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ being the head, right? So that's the context in which Jesus is saying this, and we know the point behind this is about who's justified. Where's this righteousness come from? This is a very familiar parable to us. I know that you've heard this before. This is a parable that forces you into one of two categories. And that just like that's what Jesus does with these parables. They're teaching tools that forces the listener, and for us, the reader here, forces us to say, am I like the Pharisee or am I like the publican, the tax collector? Where do you fall? Now, in the process of that, he is provoking faith. He's poking you and saying, like, who are you? Where do you stand? What do you believe? What do you believe about me? Let me read it for you. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So, are you like the Pharisee, or are you like the publican? Are you one who exalts himself, or are you one who humbles himself? It's a very simple lesson, isn't it? It's pretty clear. Not much explanation is needed. It's the application that challenges us. A Pharisee, religious, a religious man. They were the elite in society, demanded the respect of the people. They were the ones you went to if you had questions, needed guidance. And they had the power to really direct Jewish society. They had so much opportunity right at their fingertips to influence the people of God for good. They had their ear. The Jewish people had a general respect for them. I mean, they, let's face it, they were the ruling elite. What else could you do? Publicans. Now, publicans are the tax collectors, the traitors, the ones that said, I will take the money from Rome, and I'll take money from you. They were greedy. They were considered disloyal. And they were hated. They were despised. They favored Rome over their own people. Now, Jesus very specifically chooses these two men, one the Pharisee and one the publican, because I believe they were in the audience. They were the extremes in the audience. But they brought they made his point so very clearly. I would have enjoyed hearing Jesus share this. As you heard me read it, I tried to portray a bit of the emotion and how it might have come across, but again, my reading is not inspired. But the scriptures here blatantly show us a difference that we cannot miss. Even, I believe, a child can hear as they read through this the difference. Why were these two men coming? They were coming to pray. Why do you pray? Well, you know, prayer, when you come to pray, you will communicate with God, won't you? Right? You'll talk with God. You'll relate with God. You will praise and worship God. You will petition God and make requests of God. Why do you come to pray? Why? It's a very good question for us. When we come to pray, we are praying because we have an understanding. We have an understanding that we need God's help. We have an understanding that we cannot solve all these things on our own. We don't have the ability, the power, the know-how. We can't change people's hearts and minds or circumstances, but God can. And we come to pray because we believe God has the ability to do all of that. So that's why we come to pray to God. So these men, Jesus describes, as are coming to the temple. Do you have to pray at the temple? No, you don't have to pray at the temple. But Jesus makes this point. The temple is in Jerusalem. That's the central hub of all Israel. And that's where the temple is. That's where everybody converges to practice the Jewish religion. That's the hub of the Pharisees. That's where the Sanhedrin is. And that's where the temple is. And that's where you would come to worship God. And so the Pharisee chooses this day to come to the temple. Why does he come to the temple? I believe he comes to the temple because it means there's a greater audience of men. But what about this publican? Why publican do you come to the temple? I'm sure that he wasn't welcome there. He was defiled. Unclean. Why did you come to the temple? I believe he came to the temple because in his mind, it meant a greater audience with God. One was there for the audience of men. The other was for the audience of God. One wanted men to hear more than God. The other, the publican, wanted God to hear and didn't care if men heard. They both stood. The publican, or the Pharisee, stood and prayed unto himself with the publican in view. We see him even mention this specific tax collector in his quote-unquote prayer. The publican is described as standing afar off, which is the picture is this. The Pharisee comes front and center. It's almost as if he's center stage. Whereas the publican, he has come to the temple, but he's not trying to get attention. He's just coming to that place, the temple, and he's kind of standing afar off, but yet they're able to see one another. Again, he's there for an audience with God. The publican does not even lift up his eyes into heaven, but he is smiting his breast, beating his breast, which that is this action that portrays a desperation, a realization that I am in deep trouble. I am deeply disturbed in my soul for whatever reason it might have been. But for the publican, it is clear what it is. He has come to understand that he is a sinner in need of the mercy of God. Wow. And so this action of beating his breast is this powerful action that people would have seen. They would have heard and understood the heart in his mind. He was not trying to look good before men. He realized how bad he looked before God. Where all of this is leading, dear ones, is understanding what it means to be lowly and humble. Now let's look at what they say. You know, I talked about praying. Look at with me at what the Pharisee says. The Pharisee says, God, I thank you that I am not as other men. And then he goes through this laundry list that, interestingly enough, describes a tax collector, extortioner, a greedy swindler, an unjust, they're not viewed as righteous, adulterer, unfaithful one. And then, of course, he just, well, forget just describing, I'll just name him, this publican. I fast twice in the week. I tithe of all that I possess. What is he doing? I hear murmuring. What? Feedback. He's totally justifying himself. Was there other comments? There's an exalting of himself. He's bragging. I'm sorry. You're bragging. He's totally praising himself. Yeah. He's putting on a show and making a speech. Is he really praying? Is he really? I mean, he says God at the beginning. But is he really praying? He's putting on a show and making a speech declaring his righteousness to God in order that others might hear it. And he condemns the publican in the process. He doesn't make any request. He doesn't intercede for anyone. He doesn't even intercede for himself. He doesn't praise God. The only thing he does is he thanks. But he just thanks God that he's not like other people. Could you? Those are the kind of people you just want to, like, you don't want to be around them. I was going to say something more violent, but that's not appropriate, right? We don't want to be like, you know, but you, I thank God. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. What in the world? That is just setting yourself up. Now, we think this is ridiculous, right? I mean, we're listening to this and we're shaking our heads and we're smiling and we're saying, man, this is crazy. This guy is so boastful and bragging and exalting himself and proud. This is ridiculous. Oh, don't get so caught up in looking at that that you miss your own heart. And allow this to be a true evaluation of your heart and mind, and a continual evaluation. One of the things that I believe Jesus does with parables is he declares them so they're memorable. He tells you the stories so that you will remember, because listen, you might tonight have a right heart before God, but by the time you get home tonight, things could be a bit different. Isn't it true? How quickly things can change. May we remember this story. Are you the Pharisee or are you the publican? What's the publican say? Well, the publican says this, end of verse 13. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What is he doing? The publican is standing humbly before God in recognition of his sin. He acknowledges God's mercy. He acknowledges his sin. So therefore, he is throwing himself upon the mercy of God. He's making a request of God, acknowledging his need for God. It takes a humble person to realize they need God. Tonight, as we contemplate this, the application comes in this verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. Which man is he talking about? Which man? The publican. Jesus is speaking with authority here. Notice he says, he doesn't say this man might be. No, he says this man is. This man went down to his house justified. That's the case for him. And this is why. And by the way, you need to know this term, what justified means. That's a good term to know as a Christian. It means that you are declared righteous. That's a very simple definition, but I like it. I think it communicates. You are declared righteous. Now, you can declare yourself righteous. That's a self-justification. But here, this one is justified by God. God's declaring him righteous. Interesting that Jesus here is declaring him justified. Did you catch that? Don't miss that. God is the one who justifies. So Jesus explains, this is how I can say, this is how I know this to be true, other than the fact that he is God. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That is the principle. And that's what you need to remember. You want to be justified, Right? We all want that. We all want to be justified, and we'll do whatever we can to be justified in and of ourselves. That's the natural longing, and that's what has spurred on all these different cults and religions and everything else, because they want to figure out a way that they can be in control of their destiny and be somehow right with God or whoever they worship. And they're doing all of this on their own, apart from God's inspired word. And they will end up lost. They are lost. God, by His grace, has given us His word so that we have this privilege of understanding the one true God. And He is holy, perfect, and He is the one who establishes the standard. He is the righteous one. And here is Jesus Christ speaking about who's justified. Now, the Jews, of course, worship Jehovah God. So that wasn't the question about who the God is. The question is about who is the justifier. Who are you trusting in to justify you? Is it yourself or is it God? I've shared this with you before, but I like this definition of humility. And that is that you have an accurate view of yourself. You have a right understanding of yourself in the sight of God. Two passages, and we'll just only look at one because they're so very, very similar. But James chapter 4, I believe, helps us understand this, because really the question is for us tonight is we want to be humble people, right? I mean, you're walking away from hearing that story. You want to be justified. Well, then you want to humble yourself. So how do I humble myself is the question. How can I go through this life and be a person who, from God's perspective, I am humble. I'm lowly. Because the Bible, this Jesus just said, he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's future tense. So just realize this, by the way. You humble yourself tonight. Don't expect immediately that you're going to be this exalted. The exaltation is a future tense. All right? So your life might not necessarily change all that much, but you have this understanding of the truth and that you're obeying the Lord. And that you know the Lord says, he that humbles himself shall be exalted. He's got the timetable. He's got that. You see, it's not about yourself. Myself. It is about him. But listen, he'll take care of you. Right? Isn't he the just God who will avenge his elect? James chapter 4. This is a good go-to passage when you're struggling with pride. and we do, right? We do. James 4. And by the way, if you're writing 1 Peter chapter 5, if you're writing notes, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 also very similar to this. But James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You want to know how to humble yourself? Get to know God, and then put yourself in the sight of him. View the two of you, and then think about how great you really are. I guarantee that as you get to know the God of the Bible, your view of him is going to go up. And in the process, your view of yourself is going to go down. He will increase, you decrease. And that should be our lifelong pursuit. You get to know God in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Think about the mighty hand of God. And there's you. And when you have that kind of view of yourself, that's what it means to humble yourself. And that's the lesson tonight. That's what Jesus is teaching to this crowd of people. He's confronting the proud. But He is equipping those who have a faith in Him to know how they one day can truly be exalted by Him. He's helping them to realize that how a person truly can be justified. It's not through themselves. It's through God. It's through Him. Lord, thank You for the blessing of this lesson that we've learned through one of Your parables. And so, Lord, we walk from this place realizing that it is so easy for us to set up ourselves and exalt ourselves. So help us to keep this in mind. I know You are going with us. Your Spirit is with us. I pray that You'd encourage Your people as they go from this place, and may they experience Your blessing throughout this week as they walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen.